Live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
Thanks for staying with us. So I told you that we are going to be paying tribute to a beloved colleague, a friend, just an all-round really, really, really wonderful person, Thabiso Sokwane, who passed on. You may have all seen this over the weekend, the news coming through on Saturday that she had passed on Saturday morning. It really was a shock to many, and it seems like it was also a shock to the family. But as we all grapple with it, and we're trying to move on and trying to deal with the loss and mourning her, I thought it was really a good idea to celebrate her. And I'd love for you to be a part of this, to, you know, your thoughts on, you know, what do you remember about her, little moments, maybe nuggets here and there. This is one of those times, you know, so I'm hoping it will bring some joy. I'm hoping we will remember some of the good times as well. So it's your moment as well. 086-00-00959. You can also send those voice notes on 063-688-0959. And yeah, that's what we'll be doing for an entire hour. I think she deserves that and more, in fact. So it's your time. 086-00-00959 as we celebrate the life of Thabiso Sokwane.
I'm every day in awe of just the fact that God chose me. I mean, just 2 days ago, I was praying and singing, in fact, about how just He loves me, that no matter what I do, no matter where I'm at, He loves me and He meets me and He wants me all the time. That if anything, I'm the one that tends to walk away and that turns my back, against Him or to Him. And I'm so thrilled of just the revelations that I've been having lately about my purpose, because it's been my prayer, asking Him, God, what do You want me to do? I've done A, B, C, and D in my life, but I just feel like there's so much more. And it's been an exciting journey, just getting the revelation that the changes that I need to make are about people understanding God's love and the fact that God loves everybody in a country with the history that we have, in a world where, race is a big divider. It's just would make such a big difference if everybody understood and knew that we are all equal in the eyes of God and that God loves us so much. And so much so that at times where I've been frustrated, whether in the workspace or even in church or just anywhere I go, where I feel like, I just feel like saying, this is the purpose that I've been chosen for, to make people understand that God loves us equally. And if we understand that as the basis and foundation of everything we do, wherever we are, even the fact that I'm black shouldn't make me feel lesser. Even the fact that I have a disability shouldn't make me feel lesser as a single woman. If I was, it shouldn't make me feel any less valued by God than somebody who's married, perhaps. If I feel in any way othered, I should remember that the most important person who created me limitlessly loves me, and that my possibilities because of that are just limitless.
Now that is surreal. I mean, hearing her voice is absolutely surreal. In studio, I have the entire family. I know it's not the entire family, but I'm graced by beautiful, beautiful people who are here to help me celebrate Thabiso's life. And I'm going to get to David O'Sullivan just now, who's very kindly agreed to speak to us. But I just want to welcome the family and welcome everybody who's here. Hello, everybody. Hello. Come closer, Thato. Come closer.
Hello.
How are you?
I am good, as my mom would want me to be.
Yeah, you look good.
Thank you.
You're holding up really well.
I appreciate that.
Okay. Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Okay.
Giting, Mikai.
Giting. You're Thabiso's sister?
Yes. Khunzi.
Khunzi. How are you?
I'm as well as, you know, one can be under the circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, when I was talking to you earlier, and I was hoping you would talk to us, and it was just a chance, but maybe I thought it was going to be on the phone, maybe you'll give us like even 2 minutes of your time, and you brought all of these people, you brought the family, Khunze, thank you.
Yeah, I think this is what you would have wanted as well.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for having this hour dedicated to her. Mm-hmm. In life.
I actually thought, now the other tattoo is here, Frish. I thought nobody would allow a woman to leave home when the husband's passed on, because culture would not allow. Nobody would allow anybody to leave the house, actually. Mm. You're here.
Mm.
Here because she would have wanted us to be here.
Mm.
Mm, she was very unorthodox. And I think that's probably what drew us to one another.
Mm.
That we're both unorthodox in many ways. So yeah.
There are more people here, but you know, I'll allow people to speak as and when they're comfortable to speak, because mm-hmm. I think it's a difficult moment. Let me just also welcome David O'Sullivan, who's on the line with us, who we all know worked very, very well with Thabiso. David, I really appreciate you giving us your time. Good evening and welcome.
Well, thanks, Pamela. I'm absolutely thrilled to be able to have an opportunity to speak about Thabiso and shine a light on some aspects of her life that you might not be aware of, and just hello to all the family who are there, because you know you were just so important to her. This is the thing about Thabiso; she was all about family.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever in the mornings when we did the breakfast show, her, Jason, Goliath, and I, and we'd meet at 5 o'clock in the morning, she would always ask after the family, how's the family? And she would tell us about her family. And I think it was that welded us together so firmly, because after all, Jason, Thabiso, and I had nothing in common. But at the end of the 2 years of working together, we were so close-knit. And I think it was because she ensured that family was infused in each one of us. We knew about each other's family so intimately because Thabiso insisted that that's the way it should be.
David, I know you've got one of those memories, an impeccable one. So remember how and when you met her, the very first time you remember? Do you remember that?
Yes, very clearly. In fact, I posted a photograph on Facebook of that particular occasion.
Yes.
I knew who she was by reputation.
Gotcha.
As I did with Jason, they were joining the show. I'd been doing the show for about 2 years, and we were looking to go into another gear,
yeah.
Add new dimensions to it, and so Jason and Thabiso were added to it. And we decided that before we went on air, we would meet with our partners, and so we had a lunch together and I put the photographs of all of us with our partners and we went to Delta Park Cafe, and that was I met Thabiso for the first time, and I was struck by how incredibly tiny she was compared with Fresh. But what I wasn't prepared for was the way Thabiso shouldn't have been that small because of the amount she ate. She ate voraciously. And the thing about her that I found so flabbergasted me was that she would come at 5 o'clock in the morning with, you would expect on occasion, she would have some lovely cereals and some chopped up fruit and some yogurt and things that you would traditionally associate with breakfast. But then she'd come in with a curry or chicken wings, and she would munch away on the curry and the chicken wings at 5 o'clock in the morning. And she would, every ad break, she would pop out. Where's Thabiso? Oh, no, she's just got to get some food. She's just heating up the curry. For 3 hours, she ate and ate and ate, and she stayed as tiny as that. I never got over that.
Oh, David. I mean, being in studio, working together, some dynamics there that you want to share?
Well, one thing about Thabiso is that she didn't care about microphone buttons. Whether they were on or off, she did not care about that. She would just talk whenever she wanted to. But she had a very a forceful personality in that she was always going to make sure her voice was heard when she wanted it to be heard. There would be interviews where she had no interest and didn't care for, and she would make that pretty clear. Don't involve me in this discussion. And then there'd be those interviews that she just was so passionate about, and you knew, take a back seat, because she's in control, and in the best possible way. It was that the message was very clear. I know more than you, and I'm going to do it better than you. And she genuinely always would do it like that. So she knew exactly where her strengths were and her weaknesses were, and she wasn't afraid to tell you as well. And that was so good to work with her in that environment. You were never going to die wondering with Thabiso. She knew what she wanted to do and how she wanted to do it. But Pamela, you know, the thing that I loved about Tabiso,
yeah,
and I've worked with so many people in the broadcasting world, and they tell you they want to do things. Oh, I want to do this, and I want to do that, and it never comes to fruition. Tabiso would say, this is what I want to do, and then you wouldn't hear from her again, and it would be done. And the two best examples I have was when she said, I want to write a children's book about religion. She didn't talk about it again until she actually had the book written, illustrated, and published, and there it was, in my hands. There was the occasion where she said, I don't think we're telling the story of the women of the Soweto Uprising in 1976. And before I knew it, not only did she have a whole lot of interviews with the women, she had set up a network of the women so that they could feed off one another and get strength from one another and share their traumas and get and heal themselves with by telling their stories to each other. She set up this entire network of women who were traumatized and who did not realize how traumatized they were. So she took it five steps further than she had ever imagined it. And that was to be so. She would do things.
David, I really, really appreciate your account. Thank you, thank you, thank you for making time to celebrate Tabiso. Thank you. Really appreciate it.
And thank you for letting me tell some of my favorite stories of an incredible, wonderful woman with a dreadfully impish, mischievous sense of humor.
Before you go, Tato wants to speak, the big Tato wants to speak to you, David.
In fact, thanks to her, I got to meet you, good sir.
Yeah, exactly, Fresh. I mean, that was a great privilege. Yeah, you know what was so funny, though, about having you was that you would phone in and embarrass the hell out of her. She would be telling us a story, and the next thing we go, well, your husband's on the line. Let's just hear his version that she recorded.
Absolutely.
We held that away from her. We said, oh, here's a song that you might enjoy. We played a song, and it took her a while before she realized it was actually her voice. Oh, it was hilarious. We pulled pranks back on her.
No, you guys were an incredible team. You guys were a charm to listen to.
No, we loved, and you know, what I love about it, we stayed friends. We kept in touch with one another in the face of a lot of people saying, this won't work because you've got nothing in common. Well, we found our commonality, and I think it was just our straightforward humanity. Mm. I mean, I'm having lunch with Jason tomorrow, and we are going to share Tabiso stories until we're going to laugh until we cry. Yeah. We're going to cry until we laugh.
Yeah. Appreciate it, David. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you once again. Thank you.
All the best to you, Pavela, and Fresh and the family. All the best to you.
Thank you. Jason couldn't be here. Jason actually has a show tonight, and so he was completely heartbroken that he couldn't be here. I mean, listening to Tato, listening to what people have to say about your mother in the workplace must be interesting. What was she like at home?
My mom carried herself the same in every environment that she was in, to be honest. I feel like the traits that David shared about her are the same that she would show at home, especially with my brother.
Malume David.
Malume David, sorry. Uncle David, I'm so sorry. With Uncle David, my mom was truly stern in her word. She would not take any other word other than hers.
In fact, Tabiso sort of smacked him on the head for saying that.
No, she would. Yes, she would. I'm so sorry, Uncle David. I'm so sorry. Yeah, she would have. And that was my mom. She was stern in how she wanted things done and how she wanted to raise me, how she wanted to raise my brother and my sister. And I feel like she's done a good job in that.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
You're going to make her proud.
Oh.
So, Hunze, you know, Tabiso is special in the sense that she was loving. Everybody knows Tabiso was loving. But I also thought she was quite a fighter in many ways. I think she was quite strong, and I think she was very brave. When you look at how she did what she did, I mean, David just spoke about the music, the book, many, many things that she did. For me, that marks of a woman who was extremely brave.
Yes, definitely. I think it comes from even where she was brought up, raised by conscious woman in the family. She was raised by my aunt, and she talks a lot about her second mom.
Yes.
And I think she took those traits from her as well.
Yeah.
So that came through her life in what she did, the things that she was resolute about and was not going to, you know, take any other way. And the women issues were, you know, a part of the things, and for children as well. She felt strongly about caring for children, and hence she wrote the children's book as well. So she was involved in a whole, many causes, and some that you find out much, much later.
This week.
Like now.
I want to give you a minute because I know everybody's struggling a little bit. I've got to go to a call, Tami Ngubeni, who many were hearing in the news earlier on this week a lot. Tami, thank you for making time for us. Good evening. Hi.
Good evening, Pamela. Well, thank you for honoring such an incredible woman.
Your relationship with this Tabi, so just maybe give us a sense and a bit of a background there.
I've known Tab since, I think, probably I was 6 years old or something. Because as I think Tshontu was speaking there, the fact that, you know, she was raised at Die Kloof, and we had family friends living down the road at Die Kloof. And so literally Sundays, our families would be there at Die Kloof. We'd play together. I remember once when her aunt had gone trip to the States, and had, and this is a story literally that we shared at my birthday like a decade or two ago. And her aunt had gone to the States, and when she came back with a number. And that number was supposedly Michael Jackson's phone number. And, like, we were all in love with Michael Jackson at that stage, right? Like, I think, I'm sure we were, like, over 12 years old or something, or 13. But we all crushed on Michael Jackson. And so we called this number. So, actually, at that time as well, it's when you could tap the phone, you know? Because the phone was locked. It's when you could tap the phone to do those, like, illegal calls. And that's exactly what we did. So we tapped that number, and we asked to speak to Michael Jackson. And, well, I don't know to this day if we ever did speak to Michael Jackson, because there was somebody on the other side who was like, this is Michael Jackson, you know? And so I remember later on, when the phone bill came for that United States call, it was so high that Auntie Anne had to speak to our parents, I think, and they all had to kind of like, you know, give us a scolding for having made this international call, and this phone bill was crazy. So I've known Tabi, so literally, you know, from childhood, we've been friends, and then we also went to the same high school. So we had Macaulay House together, and just playing sports and being in drama at school. She was amazing. Tabitha was a star right from the beginning. At school, she'd have the leading roles whenever there were musicals. She played Annie at school and was just the blue-eyed girl, literally. And had just an amazing, amazing voice, an amazing sense of humor, funny, filled with love, giving of herself, and just an amazing Christ centered, conscientious, present person.
Your Christianity, your love for God is also something that really connected the two of you.
Oh, it really did, Pamela. I mean, she was a prayer mate. And oftentimes, you know, she would either have something for me, a word for me, or I would have a word for her. And just somebody whom I just looked to as a pure being. You know, if you think of a pure soul, perhaps as that. She was a pure soul, and loved God unashamedly, loved God loudly, loved people. She was one of those people that you don't have to ask her what her belief is. You just watch her live her life. You watch her interact with her family. You watch her interact with even total strangers. You watch her interact with colleagues. And everything that she did was just done from a point of love and a point of sincerity. And what a gem, what a unique individual, what an amazing, amazing woman and friend and sister.
Tami, thank you. Really appreciate that. Really, really, thank you so much. Spoo is calling from Turfontein. Hello, Spoo.
Hey, Pamela, how are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you for calling.
Thank you for the feature. It's wonderful and touching. How's it, big dog?
It's opposite.
Good, good. I just want to share some interesting and intriguing facts about Sister Teresa. Mm. Just from the interviews, I've never really met her face-to-face.
Mm-hmm.
If I remember correctly, Tandi Somaswai, on one of her interviews, mentioned that when she first stepped into a studio, she was invited by Ulu Thabiso.
Hmm.
Yes.
If I remember correctly.
That is correct. So Thabiso knew Abo Oskido, and mm-hmm. when they were going for a studio session, I think at Uncle Don's studio in Yeovil,
yes.
Thabiso took mm-hmm. Tandiso with. And then that's when they found out that, oh, you also have a voice on you.
She's got talent.
Because yes. Thabiso at the
so
time...
So they used to hang out.
So Thabiso at the time was singing with Jackknife, who did Festive back in 94. So, yeah, mm-hmm. her singing in terms of professional singing
mm-hmm.
started with Jackknife and... What's his name? Temba Smuts. Yeah, with Temba Smuts. So that's where the professional singing started. But yeah, thanks to her, she met Abo Tandiso, met Oskido, and the rest is history. So yeah.
Goodness.
To think about the giant that Tandiso Maswai is now in South African music,
mm.
and to think about that Thabiso was there from day one, mm. introducing her to the microphone,
mm.
to me, it's quite profound and it's quite intriguing.
Mm.
Second thing is that I watched the Wow, What a Week, but I guess I don't watch the credits. I didn't know she was part of the production team.
Yeah, she became part of the production team, I think, about 2 months ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, about 2 months ago. So yeah.
Oh, okay. I find it intriguing. Did you guys do a two-part? Did you do the second part? Are you going to post it?
So, unfortunately, while we were recording our interview, she had a massive headache and we had to cut the interview, and we'd agreed that we were gonna do a part two, because then we took her to hospital and so she fainted while we were taking her to hospital. We get to hospital, she comes out of her fainting spell, and the first thing she says is, can we finish the interview? So she was like ready to do the part two, but unfortunately the rest is history.
Do you have another question?
Finally, I just want to say she happened to be one of those people that are inspiring from the distance. You know, people are put in the limelight sometimes, and they play a significant role in our lives, even though we've never really met them face to face or spoken to them face to face. But just the journey that they travel on this earth touches us. And she was just one of those people.
Mm.
And finally, Big Dog, when you guys were reminding each other about how many times you've interviewed each other, I think you left out the WTF interview.
Oh, yes. I was sitting in for Tumi Moraki on WTF TV. Yeah, oh, yes, you're right.
Came through and exposed you for being scared of spiders.
No. In fact, there was a time we just moved into a house. And it was like a massive
garden. There was a spider on the door now.
And then there was a spider just above the door.
Yeah.
So I literally climbed slowly back into the car and I called her spider.
You called her.
So she came outside
and took away the spider. No,
and she didn't kill it. She just removed it so that they can carry on doing what spiders do.
Wow.
Scaring big men.
Is that the kind of person she was?
Yes, she was. Depend on. So with me, she would lizards.
Yeah.
But she would call me. Take out the lizards out of the house. Species with bees.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a no-no. Because she was she was a beekeeper. Yeah. So with bees, there was just a no-no. Because I kill the bees. and she was like, no, don't, they're not going to bite. It's like, but no, it's not it. But she was very protective of the bees.
Yeah. Thank you, Smoo. Thank you.
Super wonderful. Super wonderful person. So, thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you. You were saying that she had the headache while you were doing the podcast.
Yes, during that interview. So we had to rush it to hospital, and then they... Yeah, so we were worried about what's going on, and then they did a battery of tests to find out that there's no stroke, there's nothing serious happening, and then they decided they want to keep her and observe her, basically. And then she had a cardiac arrest the next day. So, yeah.
Must have been a shock, Tato?
It was. Mm. And I feel like the most touching thing for me was we were in Botswana the evening prior, and the plan was to leave the morning that she passed, but for some reason my dad was persistent on leaving immediately after his performance. Yeah, so from we left at 12, arrived around 3 o'clock at home, and then by 5 we were at the hospital, and then by 6:16 they had announced that my mom had passed. So yeah, I feel like it was,
you guys left Botswana before any news, right? You didn't
know? No, I was away. I just kept it away from him because I didn't want to worry him. Yeah, so I was aware that they'd had to rush her to ICU, basically.
Again.
Yeah.
Mm. But as Tato was saying, you left Botswana way before?
No, we left just before the border closed at midnight.
Okay.
Yeah, because the border closed at midnight. Because the guys wanted to sleep over, my band. Yeah. And I'm sure Tato was also having fun, wanted to sleep over. But I told them, no, guys, we're driving back. So, yeah.
I mean, I don't know who was in the room. Khonsa, were you in the room?
We were all there.
Yeah.
We're all there.
Do you think, did she seem like she was at peace?
Yes.
Mm. In fact, when we were doing that interview, that's the most peaceful I've seen her, possibly ever, during that interview.
And the glow, she had a you know.
A she did have a glow on that interview.
I've never, ever, ever seen her like that.
Ever?
Yeah. Well, apart from...
It's a good time to take a break.
Shall we so back announce your own song?
I refuse.
I would agree that you don't have to talk if it was a terrible song, but it is a banger.
Yeah, I love that song.
I'm never ever trusting you.
You have to trust that we do good things for you. This, we are reviving your career right here, right now. The song is called Brotherhood.
Brotherhood. Yeah.
Brotherhood from Traffic Cop album.
Yes. Yeah, I did the vocals and the rap.
Vocals and the rap. Was it Don on piano?
Yes.
Tabiso Sikwane, ladies and gentlemen.
When we started dating with the hubby, this song was big.
Okay.
So I'd do this cheesy thing and intentionally, remember in the good old days, you could directly dial to voicemail if you don't want to talk to anybody.
Yes, yes, that was quite a good old days.
I would do that and then sing this song.
Sing first? How would that voice note sound?
Hey?
Just give us one.
I need to warm up.
Did you used to practice before you actually did the voicemail?
No. When I missed him, for instance.
So I'll set you up.
Fresh and available after the tone.
Beep, beep. That sounds like something that. A whole lot of bamba.
Your man sounds like a borstal advert. Don't pretend.
Where do I even start to, you know, say something about Osthabiso? Osthabiso was a teacher through and through. I don't even know if that makes sense. But I was even looking through our conversations. She was one of those people that from the time that we worked together on Kaya Breakfast, you know, me coming in, I always just thought, oh my God, I'm working with all these legends in this show. And here I am, always willing to learn. And Osthabiso would come in every day. You wake up in the morning. This is a breakfast show, mind you. And you've got like 10 messages from her already because she's sharing all these newsworthy things. And then when she arrives in the office, she comes to my desk and then she's like, what do you think of this? What do you think? You know, always willing to listen to people's ideas and their thoughts on things. And she has such a loving heart. Like she just had such a loving heart. She loved her children so much. She loved her children so much. And I think part of that also made me, you know, always want to be a better mom. You know, part of our Kaya Breakfast journey was also spent, you know, during COVID where we were all working from home. And a lot of the times you would hear, you know, Lefika in the background and she'd try and, you know, move the kids away because we're on air and we're all trying to just, you know, navigate through this new normal that we were living through. But Osthabiso would be the one person who would always check on everyone, you know, check on everyone if they're okay, if their families are okay, if everyone is safe, if everyone is sound. And I think one of my fondest memories of her would be how she loved to share readings. Tabiso would find a book and she would align it and attach it to a person within the team and then come back and say, hey Mbali, I think you must read this book because of 1, 2, and 3. Hey Mbali, I think you must read this book because of 1, 2, and 3. And if you say, oh yes, I'll check it out, a day later she'll bring you a copy. So very, very saddened by her passing, but also very grateful for all the lessons that I learned through her. And I just wish that she rests in eternal peace and she'll definitely never be forgotten.
As you know, that's the voice of Mbali Dlamini, who was with Kaya 959 very recently. And she used to read the news here on The Breakfast Show with Tabiso and Jason and David. Light, my good friend Fenze Light is on the line. Fenze, hi.
Good evening.
How are you, Fenze? Hello.
I have no idea. How are you?
I know. Thank you for agreeing to talk to us. Your memories of Tabiso.
I mean, first I must say, I don't think I've ever been on the same frequency with that guy there in studio.
That other guy.
My dude, I do.
And we on air together.
No, I knew eventually it would one day happen. So.
Where do I even start? So, you know, the irony is that a lot of people, when they ask about how they got into radio, chances are they mentioned that guy that's in studio that he probably put them on. My story is the lady who was opposite him. I was just a student at Vid, obviously interested in Navy and broadcasting. But yeah, we were out at the school event, at a restaurant, and one of my co-students said, hey, you like that feature on, I think at the time she was doing a movie feature on Fred Joe's TV show.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was always into movies. Like, yeah, you like that feature on the TV show? Do you see Tabiso? Yeah, I'm like, Tabiso. Tabiso, my side, Tabiso. Like, no way. So then we went to an all-star truck, you know, taking pictures, and I started asking about radio. So graciously, she was like, no, you know, I've got a Saturday show, and I think it was her first stint at Kaya.
Mm-hmm.
They were still there in Rosebank. She said, no, I've got a Saturday show, come through, come shadow, come see how radio works. I went that Saturday, and to cut a long story short, that's the beginning of my very long and beautiful affair with radio.
Wow.
And yeah, and then a friendship grew from strength to strength, yeah.
And you are a radio man through and through, Fenze. I mean, people who don't know you would know that, or those who do know would know that you have produced the biggest giants in this platform, the biggest giants. They've all been through your hands, so, I mean, it's quite a big thing.
May I add something?
Yeah.
Because Fenze produced my breakfast show at Metro.
Yes, yeah.
And generally, I'm so picky about who I work with.
Mm.
So normally I'll have a producer produce my show,
mm-hmm.
but I'll also do my own prep parallel.
Mm-hmm.
Fenze is the first producer I've allowed to produce the whole show without doing parallel prep. That's how much he loves radio. He'll give you so much prep, you're like, what am I supposed to do with all of this?
And Fenze is an all-rounder.
Yeah.
He can do politics, he can do entertainment,
absolutely.
He can do absolutely everything.
Yeah, and I look at that prep, I'm like, where did he find time to do all of this?
Well, he's 24 hours on the job.
Yes,
that's what I like about Fenze.
Yeah, so I figured the secret was in his big calves.
Yeah.
Because it's sort of what it is. It's about Nazi. And the Chuck Taylors. That's
must
a superpower.
Chuck Taylor.
And he's a wordsmith.
Yes, yes.
He's a wordsmith.
Absolutely.
Fenze, man, thank you.
I want to say, you know, it's often that when someone passes on that we typically say, you know, oh, you know, she was loving, she was this, but sometimes it's actually absolutely true. And with Tabiso, you don't even need to defend that. Everybody who either knew her through radio or knew her as a person knew that there was no difference. the Thabiso you meet in the street and the Thabiso you hear on radio. And I thought a lot of people just felt like they had a friend in there, because the authenticity that she approached radio with was not a put on. Mm-hmm. You know, she didn't have an alter ego to say, when I go on radio, this is the professional me, and when I'm off, this is me. But it was just the same person on air and off air. And that's why, whether you're or not, we seem to know that, have known the same person.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, may her soul rest in peace. And just in closing, you know, she wrote a book called God Loves You for Kids.
Mm.
And that was one of her passions, especially late in life, to do a lot of work around kids. I remember we were always in conversation about the show she wanted to do to really put on talented kids and find talented kids everywhere, because she met them everywhere, and it was such a passion of hers to say, you know, I met this other boy from this place, I met this other girl, and she just wanted to do something to create a platform for them. And yeah, life happens and life works how it works. But yeah, I don't think anyone is any confused about what Thabiso is passionate about.
And you know, before it was fashionable to have kids on the radio, because now every show has kids on the radio. She was doing it on SAFM like 17 years ago. Yeah. She was doing it 17 years ago. Putting kids on the radio.
Always had a love for kids.
So, you know, I've seen Fencer through many, many, many moments. I've never heard him this down before.
I know.
Thank you, Fencer.
Love you, my dude.
Thank you.
Love you,
brother.
So, you know, I often find that through death, you discover somebody anew, afresh.
Mm.
And you know this person, you think you know them, but there is something about how other people express their love for that person that makes you see them again differently or afresh. Khonsi, is that the same for you?
I mean, not necessarily like I see them in a different way. I think now I'm seeing it more.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm seeing the love that she had, mm-hmm. and how people are reciprocating that back.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm in awe of that. And I sometimes you just take it she's just a celebrity, mm. because mm. people, but now you genuinely see the love, you know, from people. I mean, my phone has never been so busy ever in my life, and thinking she's probably just having a chuckle and like, because I was just thinking, maybe even if it's my wedding day or whatever, my phone will never be so busy. But you know, getting messages from, for me, you know, my high school, people that I went to high school with, mm. you know, people that, you know, I know from wherever, you know, are just calling and texting and saying, you know, we have lost, you know, somebody, and how they feel that loss. And I'm consoling other people, you know, when I was breaking down the news to a friend of mine.
Yeah.
I mean, she cried, she cried, but because, you know, she was so personal, you know, she, and intimate with people as well,
mm.
you know, so you're feeling a genuine love, you know, from people, and I never realized the magnitude of it.
Tato, did you have a sense of how much your mother touched other people?
Not until now.
Mm-hmm.
I knew she did, but I didn't know. To the magnitude of which social media has displayed.
Yeah.
I mean, on Twitter, not that numbers matter.
Yeah.
But, you know, at the end of the day, there were like over 10,000. I'm lying.
Yeah.
At the time that I saw it, it was like 5,000. And I was touching to know that my mom was that much of a loving person, that she doesn't need to.
And the personal stories, hey?
I mean,
it's not just, she was nice from a distance.
Mm.
They're real stories that are a testament to who she was.
In fact, the big question we've all been asking ourselves is, because you're only realizing now other lives that she touched.
Yes.
Because I used to always complain to her that I feel like our relationship is like an SPCA for broken souls, because she would always find people that needed her, whether it's at a sisterly level, at a we love Jesus together level. And it was always people that needed her at a level that I didn't understand it. But it's only now that you are seeing other people that say, oh, we prayed together at 3 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, but she also prayed at 12 in the morning. Yeah. And then she'd wake up at 2 in the morning and bake. And then at 3 she's...
When did she do all of this?
And that's what I'm asking myself.
Yeah. Well, here's someone who has a story like that to tell.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding you, but I had to ask her to come on the radio. Florence, hi. Florence Masebe.
Oh.
Oh. Pomelo, Tato.
Hey, Flo.
Honte, Tato times two. And everyone, Humota Hanke. Guys, I'm so sorry.
Thank you, Flo.
I'm listening to you talking about all of these things, and you're talking about the cooking, you're talking. I feel like I was being pranked this whole week, because when I got the news of her passing, I thought, it's not true. She sent me a voice note on my late brother's birthday. And now she's talking about Abuti Thabo and the support he was giving throughout all the work, and how she could rely on him as quite a solid source. And then she turns around and says, oh, by the way, I was looking for something. And I thought, yo, okay, Florence posted something. I went searching for Lifeko that I was gifted at my wedding. How did you move from this very beautiful, somber message about my brother's heavenly birthday and now Ribua Kamasek? Bye-bye. You know, it feels like, yeah, she was crazy and beautiful and a dynamite. I don't think we realized enough just how big she was and the impact she had on South Africa, on young people. You know, when SABC was turning around and being relaunched, I think this was 1996 when we were doing the whole big move and we were being put to from CCV and all those old TV One. Now we were SABC 1, 2 and 3, and SABC 1 was a channel for the youth, so they were going to take all these dynamic young people. This is where I know I have from, at the time when I was doing electric workshop, and I think I can't remember, there was another show in Irwagibu, Nomonde, Gonreta and the gang, Inside Info, I think it was called. And then the other big youth show was The Joint. You know?
That was 95, 96. Mm. I remember because I was a fan of that show.
Oh, she was remarkable. Actually, it's crazy that she didn't turn out to become the next during for our days, in those days when she was doing The Joint, there was Felicia Mabuza-Sacco on TV. I think the natural progression would have been the biggest talk show today would have been Tabiso's show. She was really amazing. She's really dynamic. I remember how we used to get put together to do promos for the channel, and was forever Vinolia Mashiko, that was another amazing and crazy human being. Never ever called Tabiso by name. We are jointed. And when we are jointed. Like, what is we are jointed? I can show you like, we are jointed. The show is called The Joint. So, you know, every now and again we used to have a giggle about we are jointed. And yeah, but what an amazing human being. I worked with her as well when she was doing her book, and she wanted to make sure translations. I said, "Hey, kipre takari book outfit. I'm sending you stuff. Please, tusa, mudimu wa horata." There was so much love in that book. She was talking about God loving people, but I don't think she realized how much of her love she poured in just into that project. And yeah, I think one of the biggest gifts she gave to the children of South Africa, because just doing it and insisting it be done in different languages as well was quite a stroke of genius and a beautiful gift. Mm. I'm quite saddened by her passing. I know you guys are hurting a whole lot more.
Thank you, Florence. Thank you, Flo. She moved on to do the Breakfast Club. Have you ever seen clips of that? Your mom was incredible on the Breakfast Club. I met Thabiso at my home because my brother was a director of that show.
Oh, yes.
Who kept speaking about, I mean, we could see it, but kept speaking about this incredible person he was working with and brought her home. And that's how my family met Thabiso.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it was a great, even if you had to redo it today.
I think it was easily one of the most underrated TV breakfast shows this country has ever produced.
Absolutely. It had everything.
And it was before its time.
Absolutely.
And I don't think we were ready for it. I don't think we were ready for her greatness or the show's greatness.
Yeah. It was. We must get SABC has got archives. We'll find them for you.
And shout out to Carol Bauer. Carol Bauer actually spotted her.
Yes.
And put it on the joint and said, listen, we're doing a talk show. Yeah. It's you and a white dude and targeting youth. We're going to put you on SABC One.
Yeah.
And the reason I'll never forget the joint is because I stayed at a complex. I was studying at the time. I stayed at a complex on Empire Road when I was studying in Boston. And Thabiso's sister, I had no idea there were sisters, stayed in the same complex. Kagiso.
Okay.
So Kagiso was also at Boston because I'd always see her there.
Yeah.
And we lived in the same complex. I had no idea it was Thabiso's sister. And I remember Sammy T was working at 5FM at the time. And Sammy T would come visit me on Empire Road. And one day we were sitting, the joint was on. And I said to Sammy T, I'm going to marry that woman one day. True story.
Look at you now.
True story.
Let's take a quick break. We'll be back with more of your calls as well. Listen, I've got time for them as well, eh? 086-00-00959.
When was the last time you used public transport and Uber doesn't count?
Does Caltrain count?
Yeah.
No, then probably 2 or 3 months ago.
To the airport?
Yes.
I used a taxi.
Me to taxi.
Yeah.
Okay. I used a taxi a month ago.
Taxi.
And I always loved the experience of being in a taxi with complete strangers, conversations buzzing, or there's these amazing, interesting odors, and the issue in the front, if you sit in the front, having to be the mathematician and counting, and if you're in the taxi with a very flirtatious taxi driver, how they'll, you know, make the eyes and, you know, all these funny things. But I actually do enjoy every now and then, and I do it deliberately.
My dad would smack you if a dog was biting you or running after you, and you said when I do hurt myself, the word, and I don't know where this word comes from, my kids were asking me the other day, where in the world does this word come from?
Yeah.
It's plonkers. I don't know where that comes
plonkers.
From
plonkers.
Yeah, when I hurt myself, it's plonkers.
And self-love is so pivotal to who you are as an individual outside of motherhood, outside of your career, outside of everything else. And this you bring into the book. And, you know, you bring in, it's besides reaffirming children that God loves them, there's also an element of reintroducing self-love from a very spiritual point of view. Can you elaborate on that for us and the importance of that for children?
The word says, love your neighbor as you love yourself.
Mm.
And if you don't know what love is, what are you giving?
Mm.
And that's why it's critical. And one of the things my dad had a conversation with me about is all about understanding what love is. Giving that to yourself, then you give it to somebody else. You can't give something that you don't have.
Mm.
And I'm eternally grateful. I always say that even if my dad had not taken us to the best schools, my parents hadn't sacrificed what they did, my entire family, my extended family, even if they hadn't done what they did financially to take me to good schools, but the grounding that they gave me in terms of very important principles like that, I'm eternally grateful for that, because I look at some of my peers, even today, I look at just how needy one can be when you don't have love, when you don't come from love, when you don't love you. It was critical for me when I became a parent to say, I would like to have my children have this armor that starts from love.
The voice of Thabiso Segwane. Khonsi, what do you wish Thabiso knew?
That she was love. I think that she was love herself.
Tato, what do you wish your mother knew before she left?
I feel like she knew it all in the end. She knew who she was. She knew who she wanted to end up being in the end. She knew what she wanted to do with herself. So I feel like my mom knew she was loved. She knew the impact she had on our lives. She knew. My mom knew. So, yeah.
Tato?
My biggest problem with Tabiso was that she knew everything.
She genuinely just knew.
And often she was right. If she told you something, you'll find out later that, okay, you were right. So, I think I wish she knew how much of a void she's going to leave. I wish she was here to see this void that she's left. Because, she was carrying way more people than any of us were even aware of. Like, way more people than we're even aware of. And a part of me wonders how she coped. Because she willingly carried other people's burdens and problems. And I mean, even when I interviewed her on the podcast, I mean, we joked about it. But literally every night that me and her went out, she'd introduce me to someone that she was chatting to in the queue in the toilet. And within 1 minute of chatting in the queue, she almost knows this person's life story and how we can help. You know, hence I said, I felt like she was like the SPCA for souls that needed a bit of fixing, because every night out, I knew we have a new phone number of someone who needs something, or just, can we help with taxi fare, or can we, I need $100. If she asked me for $100, I knew that the toilet lady at the club doesn't have transport money, so now we're sending her home. So she did that every single day.
You spoke of Carol Bao.
Yes.
Of course we are not going to do this without her. Carol, hello, and thank you. Thank you so much for agreeing to do this. Hello.
Hello, Pumelo. How are you, darling?
Well, it's a moment for us to reflect.
Absolutely. Tato, I am sending you my love. The loss is yours and the family's, but it's also a huge loss for all of us, for the nation, but for some of us who almost had the secret relationship with her. It's a very, very sad day. I had the fortune of becoming a television producer at a very young age, and the first person I ever signed as a host was Tabiso. You know, normally when you are producing, you're supposed to have all the answers. And I cannot tell you the lessons that I learned from this young lady who walked in, who always looked like she was 20 years younger than me. And I promise you, I just never realized until last year that we were the same age. When we were doing the farewell for Mutswako, she agreed to come onto the show to chat to us. And in that conversation, she had the grace to go back to the founding years of not only her television career, but also my producing career. And just looking at, you know, just the confluence of our fate, and taking it to just the journey of Black women in a developing South Africa. I learned so much about grace. I learned so much about the love of self and the love of our people in how she addressed every guest that came into the studio, in how she carried herself with elders and young people. I think many of us who become parents learn very late through our children how to be respectful of those younger than ourselves. Tabiso understood this before she even became a mother. Tabiso understood the gifts that people came into this world with long before some of us came to a realization that every life is valuable and every life is deserving of our respect and our love and our attention. I'll share with you a very personal story of about 3-4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Out of the blue, not having spoken to Tabitha for many years, I get this message on my phone that speaks about how she viewed me, what she thinks I did for her, whether it's true or not. I mean, I was just a producer finding somebody who was talented and just making sure that I had the best. But she articulated it in her words, and it reduced me to tears, because it isn't always that people come back years later and say that to you.
Mm.
I loved her dearly. I respected her immensely. I valued the fact that she had visibility, and she understood that you never chase fame, but you always chase impact and look at how lives are better as a result of you. Not for show, but because you care about your people and you see how your light can impact others. I mean, I'm sure, you know, I receive fresh infective, stop doing this thing better, sending me those little music, I don't know what they're called.
I apologize. I'll start sending you mixes again. I used to send Carol mixes, so.
I enjoy those. What surprised me was that I never knew that she could sing.
Mm.
And she would just, you know, feel in a moment where she would either read something that she knew would hurt me, and she would just break into song, and from song she'd go into prayer. And I just never understood why she took the time, why she chose to believe in me when, you know, even what was written could have made one walk away from you. But when she knew you, she always judged you on the basis of who she knows you to be, rather than what anyone would come and say about you.
Hmm.
I will love her forever.
Oh.
I have immense respect for the relationship that the two of you had. Not all, you know, marriage is a very interesting bond, because it's a bond between two people, but everyone has an idea of what it should be. You had your journey. I think it was a beautiful one, and she made it quite clear to everybody how, you know, how valuable you were in her life story, in her journey. And I respect the result of what you created together, and your children and your family. We love you for loving her.
Thank you. Thank you,
Carol Bauer. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Nosipho Khatebe, and I had the privilege of working with Tabiso during the period, rather, when Kaya Breakfast got a facelift. Now, I would read news occasionally on the show, but every time, whenever I interacted with Tabiso, she always took the moment just to get to know me and just to speak to me on a personal level. She was such a genuine person, and I really cherished that, no matter how brief those interactions were. And I'm so grateful for the time that I did spend with her, because she was part of one of my major career highlights, and that's when we broke the news of the passing of a South African food writer, author, and editor, Dora Sithole, together. What a moment that Tabiso was there with me and holding my hand during that. But yeah, it is definitely sad to talk about Tabiso in the past tense, but she had such a positive spirit, and she definitely left a lasting impression on me, and I'm sure everyone at Kaya. My thoughts are with her family, friends, and all of us who had the privilege of knowing her.
You know, the title of mother is something you hold so dearest to your heart. Can you walk us through a little bit of the behind the scenes of Tabiso and her anointing that is motherhood?
I take it as a huge blessing. I get very emotional about it, because I always think, Modimo, how this is just me. You know, this is little me compared to you. I know how big I am. I understand the power that I have in me because of whose child I am. But when I look at him and what he is, I always think, little me, you gave me these blessings. You're giving me these teachings, because children are teachers. And you trusted me with all of that.
Yeah.
not only did you trust me with it, you enabled me to actually just walk this journey with this amazing gift of life. These kids didn't exist. Yeah. And then there was this person. And I had such an influential role to play in this. And my question is sometimes, I hope you're proud of me. I hope I've done good.
This is Juliet Joseph. I had the privilege of working with Os Tabiso on Kaya Breakfast with David O'Sullivan and Jason Goliath, doing traffic reports and often crossed live into the show. I remember doing a crossing with her from the Wondrous Taxi Rank. This is closer to the Easter period, where she was riding solo in studio, always ready and willing to teach. Her joyful spirit and sense of humor were so infectious. I mean, on April Fool's Day, she pranked the listeners when she fidgeted with the mic and then went silent on air after the mic dropped. People started calling in, sending voice notes, only to realize she was playing an April Fool's joke. She came back on air and said, "I just pranked you." April Fool's. That moment captures her playful and vibrant nature so perfectly. Beyond her work, she was also a genuinely supportive person. I remember we would chat off air about my side hustles, and she would say, "You know what? Bring those bonnets, bring those dukes, you know, at my house and support, and actually buy them." And she would take a lot, and I knew she doesn't need them, but she was just, you know, showing her support. Os Tabiso also loved reading. She had a lot of books that she had read, and the one time she came with a book to studio and showed me and said, "Read this book. It will, you know, give you a different perspective to life." And the book was called Hearing Voices of Jesus and Ancestors, that she gave me to read. So I've had that book ever since then. A day never went by without her talking about her children, how much she loved them, and how proud she was of everything they did. I'm sure most of us would recall during lockdown where she was heard on air live, you know, screaming out, "La raza, la raza." And with that being said, I'm also sure, like many of you, I'll never forget her unique way of signing off air. Mo Africa, itlokomele. Rest in peace, Os Tabiso.
In one word, Tato, how would you describe Tabiso?
Yo. I'd probably say love, because that's what she was, and that's what she displayed. And like Juliet is saying, she's that person. There's a vegetable lady in our Cosmo City. We have at least 20 vegetable places you can buy from. She'll drive all the way there to support this lady. And that's who she was. The day she'd call me, like, I'm giving someone a ride because she saw some lady with black bags on her head. And she's just telling me that, "Listen, if I've disappeared, it's because I'm giving some lady a ride." But she was that person. She just was love, like, through and through.
Quincy?
And may I just add quickly? Mm-hmm. I'll give you an example. Regardless of how hard we fought, she'd always fight with love. And she'd try and teach me that. Because unfortunately me, because I was bullied as a kid, I'm a dirty fighter. No, not really, but I can be hurtful when we fight.
Gotcha.
I don't remember her once saying anything hurtful to me. Not once. Even when angry. That's how much love she was.
Wow.
Yeah.
Peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
Tato, if you can describe your mom in one word.
I would say my mom is life. In everything that she did, she brought life. Even if it's a simple phone call with a bank teller. She's like, "Hi, good Tuesday. I keep waiting for you. Selling pee like every Tuesday." You know, like, my mom would just bring life to your day in any way. And I feel like, yeah, that's why we didn't lose someone. Life just, yeah, life. My mom is, she's life. We're celebrating life at the end of the day. We're not mourning the loss of someone. And I believe that life will only get better with her as our guide now.
Gosh, you're a great testament to your mom's love. I couldn't come up with one. I could do two. I think she was grace. But I think more importantly, she was light. I think Tabiso was light. I don't think I know anyone who epitomizes. She was godly in that way. And everybody here will tell you, I struggled today. So generally, there's a colleague of mine who says, you know, how we greet each other. How are you, Ospimelo? And I usually say to him, darling. That's what I usually say. And today he says to me, how are you? And I said, I'm fine, thank you. And he said, no, you're not okay. I didn't even realize I said to him, I'm fine, thank you, because I wasn't focusing on what he was asking me. This has been the most difficult day for me in my broadcasting career. I didn't know how I was going to get through this broadcast. I wanted to cancel all the other interviews because I didn't think I could focus. It was a tough weekend. And if it was like that for me, I wonder what it's like for you. I'm so sorry for your loss. Tabiso meant a lot to many of us. And we hope you know that your mother was an angel on earth, not just now. She's always been. And I think her light will continue to shine. I really appreciate you coming. I appreciate you giving us the permission to honor her. And we wish you strength.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'll be back tomorrow at 8.
The scripture that God has raised me with to be able to do everything that I've done as a parent, as a former wife, as a friend, has been 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 to 8, which is part of the definition of love. And that is what I've learned about myself, that I am capable of loving. And it's a beautiful gift to have been given and to be able to give. I get emotional every time when I look at my week, I look at my day, and I look back, or even when I start the day, and I'm just constantly in awe of Lerato la Modimo for me. So that's what I look at and I say, well, God has come through for me by giving me the peace that he talks about in the Bible, in his word, that is my manual for life, about giving me the peace that surpasses understanding, reminding me that he has not given me a spirit of fear, that fear is there and it's real, but his word says, I've not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind.
Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.